for war, never back down, give me some more. We came for the title, killing the game.
Welcome into another episode of Patrick Jones Baseball.
Today's guest is a very good friend of mine. His name is Tyler Pakanek, and he is the recruiting coordinator at Jacksonville State University. So today's episode is all about college recruiting. So if you're interested in college recruiting, this is going to be the episode for you. So Tyler's, like I said, a very good friend of mine, someone I trust greatly, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have him on and pick his brain on recruiting and to give all of you advice on the recruiting process. Here we go with Tyler Pakanek.
This is the future. This is my time. I grind and shine. I put in the work and push the line. I'm holding my crown. I never back down.
All right. We now welcome onto the podcast Tyler Pakanek. Tyler, thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a blast.
So Jacksonville State University, right? That's where you're at right now. You're in the past, you were at Missouri. You're at Jacksonville State. You're the recruiting coordinator. When you first told me you're going to Jacksonville State, I was like, awesome, man. Like, you know, you're going back to Florida. It's going to be fun. Jacksonville, Florida is a great place to be. And I soon found out Jacksonville State is not in the state of Florida. It is Alabama. How often do you get people who think Jacksonville State is in Florida?
A few times. Usually it's, you know, whether it's parents or recruits, say, you know, I reach out or a coach kind of told them about like our program, and, you know, they kind of say that like, oh, you know, Jacksonville, Florida would be an awesome place to, you know, to go to college.
One of the unique things, though, and I feel like Jacksonville State, when you first got that job, I was looking into the program, like the facilities you guys have are unbelievable.
Yeah. And I think that just like, you know, it's South baseball in general, right? And there's a lot of care for it. It is, you know, it's probably sport number two, right, in the South. Like, you got football and then it's baseball. You know, we had the pleasure of playing at Auburn last night and midweek against us, and 8,000 fans there. You know, that's the South. And, you know, we'll have a good crowd this weekend when WKU comes to town. You know, we'll fill and be about 2,000 fans there.
Yeah, midweek games playing in Ohio, we did not have 8,000 fans. I don't think I've ever played in front of 8,000 fans in the Big East. Where do a lot of your guys, take me through like your own process and system for recruiting? You're the recruiting coordinator there. You know, if someone were to look at your roster, they see, you know, a decent amount of JUCO guys. There's some high school guys on there too. Are you pretty much just trying to stay local for high school guys and JUCO nationally, or what's your process and system?
Yeah, I think we're still kind of trying to figure that niche out a little bit, right? I think whenever you go, you're at a new program, you're trying to figure out, especially, you know, a whole new staff here in a different area from where all of us have come from. We're trying to figure that out. Now, you know, the thing about our staff, we all have come from different places, you know, and we all have different backgrounds and different connections. So for us, we feel like, you know, we can plug and play from some of those different areas. For example, you know, Coach Everett has some Tennessee background, and he has some Alabama background. So he kind of helps out in this area. I grew up in Florida. I've spent some time coaching there. You know, I spent some time now in the Midwest. So I have some ties in those areas. Coach Beezer's been in Missouri. He's been kind of up in that, you know, Illinois, Midwest area. So he brings some ties from those areas. So for us, like, you know, we're kind of figuring that niche out, the roster we kind of have right now. We had to bring in a couple pieces. We still had some holes that we had to bring in when we took over the job in July. But as we kind of look forward, you know, fast forward here next year, the following years, you know, I think high school wise, we could be really good in just our region, not just the state of Alabama. Georgia's, you know, 45 minutes away. You know, Tennessee's about 2 hours away. So we have some luxury there. And then Mississippi, I think, is kind of like an untapped market when it comes to high school baseball and even junior college baseball, because, you know, you got Southern Miss, really good program. You got Ole Miss, Mississippi State, And then what do you have after that? There's not much. So, but there's a lot of good baseball players that come out of Mississippi. So we're kind of fortunate to be in the hub of high school baseball, you know, in the South. We're an hour and a half from East Cobb. We're an hour from Hoover. So all the big, you know, tournaments that go on during the summer, it's nice to be that close. So, you know, I think when we look forward in the future, we're going to have a good mix, I think, of high school kids, junior college kids. And the cool thing I think about junior college is those kids, they go off to junior college, they play a year, play 2 years, and then, you know, they just want kind of that Division I taste. They're not necessarily as picky maybe as the high school kid. So we, you know, if you look at our junior college class for next year, we have kids from Florida, we have kids from Tennessee, we have Mississippi, Alabama, Illinois. You know, it's kind of all over. And so I think for us, like we can, because of our facilities, because of the staff that we have, we can go out and do some more national recruiting on that front.
Are you looking at fewer high school players now because of the portal and things of that?
I mean, when you look at, you know, what are the Power Fives doing? You know, they take the portal guy, they take the guy that has experience, that has put up Division One numbers or Division Two numbers. For us, it's like, okay, how do we still match up with that? Because our goal is still the same. Like, we still want to go to a regional, we want to host a regional, et cetera, right? So how do we keep up with them? For us, like, I think what's going to happen as we go on, but who knows, right? Like, who knows what happens? You know, I think it's going to be a little bit more kind of junior college focus, but the high school kid too. Like, there's really good high school players out there that now are getting overlooked from those Power Fives because they want to go portal. So that's where we can go in and get the really good high school kid that can come in and play right away. So, you know, I think it's going to be a little bit of both for us. I don't know how much the portal will play. You know, that's something we'll find out probably this summer. I don't imagine us kind of using it too much. I think a lot of the bigger schools are going to go through the portal and have their picking. So, you know, we'll see. We'll find out more, I think, this coming summer for us.
Yeah, that because what I had heard before from like some schools is, at the end of the year, they have players leave who they didn't expect to leave, right? And so then they're like, whoa, like we got to fill this spot. And that's when they go in the portal. But I guess maybe for you guys, it would be more so maybe even a junior college player would fill that role too.
And that's, I mean, that's the crazy world we live in, right? You just don't know anymore who's staying, who's leaving, you know, for whatever reason. So you got to be on your toes a little bit. And, you know, that's where I think, especially from the recruiting side, you might not have a need in the fall because you're expecting somebody to come back next year that you're really counting on. And then all of a sudden something happens and all of a sudden you got to pick up and you got to go figure out that hole. So, you know, it's kind of leaving all the doors open and making sure that we're doing our due diligence, you know, making sure, you know, we got notes on guys
Yeah.
for all positions, even though we might not have a need at that exact moment.
How far out are you making notes on guys? Like, are you making notes on guys who are 2027s already?
Yeah, so because of the new recruiting rules in, you know, Division I baseball, you know, we can't have that communication with them until August 1st of junior year, right? So for us too, like, it's going to be a little later. So, like, you know, for us right now, if you think about it, like, there's a lot of communication going on with 25s. You know, our 24 class is done. So the 25 class, there's a lot of communication and trying to finish up that class right now. And then it's just kind of keeping our eyes open on the 26s because we can't really do anything with them,
Yeah.
right? In the past, like, you're writing notes on 26s, 27s, and even some 28s, right, that you might have come across. But just because of the rules, like, you don't have to have that communication, you can kind of wait a little bit longer. So I imagine, like, this summer, especially, you know, maybe mid-June to later in June, beginning of July, you know, we're gonna have a lot of note taking on like the 26th class because it's only, you know, it's at that point, it's gonna be about a month away till we can start communicating with those guys.
I know you have a background in infield. You're really good infield coach. You've had a lot of opportunities even to go into professional baseball and being like in an infield coach role. So what is something that you're looking for when evaluating high school or junior college player, just anybody when it comes to like infield play. Like that's an area. It's like I know enough to be dangerous, but I mean, like I probably have the equivalent of what you know in your pinky when it comes to infield play. So what are you looking for when you're out scouting?
Yeah, I think if we're just talking infield, I think, for me, like I want four shortstops out there, right? Like I want, and that doesn't mean, oh, I don't want this big guy, at first base. Like that's fine. Like I don't care about that. I just care about how they move. Like I want good movers. I want them to be athletic. So when you, especially now you look at professional baseball, you can't shift, right? So range is becoming a little bit more important again. In the college world, like we're still allowed to shift, but we don't have as much information. So range is pretty important because we don't have all this information that, the pro teams had so many years ago when they were able to shift. So, that's kind of number one for me, like, how they move, can they move? And then, the other thing is just kind of like baseball IQ, like I don't, the arm strength thing. Yeah. Like that's okay to me. But if a guy has some understanding for timing in the infield, that's huge, right? It, like ball hit up the middle and, he's got a quick runner and he takes a two-step pattern and he gets rid of it and it all looks good and gets the guy out by one step. Like, okay. Like that guy actually has some understanding for timing and some baseball IQ to him versus maybe the guy doesn't know that, right? Like doesn't know he's got a good runner and he wants to do a four-step pattern and show the arm off, like, and now the guy's safe. Like that stuff's big for me.
You said movement, like you want good movers. Like what exactly do you mean by good movers?
Yeah, so when I say good movers, like that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, they run like a 6'3" or 6'4" 60, right? That means like there's some timing to how they field a ground ball. Right. So it is the, the glove foot hitting the ground as the ball hits the mitt. They time that up. Are they creating good hops with their feet? Like that's what I care about. It doesn't mean the 60 times a 6'3", 6'4". Like I've seen those guys struggle fielding ground balls because they don't know how to use their feet to time up a ground ball to get the right hop. So, for me, like in between innings, I watch a little bit of that. Are they, taking those in between inning reps serious? Are they working on some timing with their feet? And then obviously in the game, like I want to see game reps, not necessarily the showcase style reps that you get from a defensive standpoint. Because usually the fungo hitter isn't waiting till the guy gets back, does his prep step before he hits the next one, right? He's got to get through it. So for me, like I love watching the game and I love watching the in between inning reps.
That's interesting. I never really necessarily thought about the in between reps in inning to inning. I mean, of course, you see a lot of guys, and maybe that's just because I'll watch professional baseball. Guys just kind of just going through the motion at times. But you're right. Like the best ones are taking that seriously, and then from an evaluator standpoint, that's more reps for you, right? To be able to evaluate them because they may not get a lot of in-game reps.
Yeah, and it's kind of it goes along with like a story I usually tell our guys. I had the luxury of coaching somebody who went on to professional baseball, had some scouts at his game in college, and for whatever reason, the scout loved him, just never had an opportunity to actually have a home to first time on him. He had one opportunity in the 5, 6 times that he actually got to see him. And that one time he kind of jogged it down the line and had a 4-4 on his resume for that, right? And he's telling me like, I know he doesn't run a 4-4 down the line. I know he's like a really good runner. And I'm like, I know, So he's like, but when I turn my notes in, like that's what I have to turn in. I have to turn in he's a 4-4 runner because that's all I have. And it goes for me too, like, especially in the college world. How many opportunities do we get to actually see a guy before we have to make a decision? Right. It's about a handful, maybe even less to make a decision on a guy. So that doesn't mean, oh, you got to go 4-for-4 in a game, but like, how do you take your in-between inning reps, right? How's your pregame look? All that stuff matters because those are things that go on your resume, as a college evaluator that
What's a good I know a lot of times people talk about the
I look at.
60 time. I think the home to first time is more applicable, obviously, to baseball in general. So when you're talking about infielders, Is there a range like, hey, there's a baseline. He at least needs to be for whatever home to first, you know, if he's going to play shortstop for us. Is there anything like that that you have?
No, like I think there's like different types of players, right? Like me, ideally, like, yeah, I want a fast, twitchy guy up the middle. But I have also had the guy that is not as fast, twitchy, but really good with the routine play. He's on top of whatever our bump plays are, whatever our first and third plays are. That's like a true leader. So no, like I'm not gonna X somebody out because they run a 4-3 down the line versus a 4-2-5 down the line. There's some wiggle room there just a bit, based off the type of player they are. We're looking for how I break it down is green runners are 4-2-5 less, yellow runners are 4-3-5 less, red runners are above that 4-3-5 mark. I'm probably not gonna be as appealed to a red runner at shortstop though. That's just not what I'm gonna go for on the recruiting side. And a lot of that has to do with like what I talked about with range and we shift and say we're a little bit more aggressive on that style here. But we don't have as much information. So sometimes we have to play, I gotta try to cover more ground than actually, all right, let's play to the hard hit here.
I'm very, very happy that you shared kind of, you know, the green, yellow, red there, the numbers too. I think that's going to be very helpful for people to be able to help them evaluate, you know, maybe where they're at if they're a player or their players too. Like, hey, here's a Division I recruiting coordinator kind of giving you his you know playbook on how he views speed from the home to first time. I think that's really good. What about pop times? I think that's something that I see online. The amount of people who claim to throw 1.8, 1.7s even I've even heard, and it's like, man, that's tough. Like, what's your when you see showcase pop times, do you even care?
I like to see the video along with it. Like, is the catcher cheating and they're already turned and all that good stuff, right? Like, because in game you don't have that luxury to cheat and you don't know when the runner's actually stealing. So that's why I like to pair the video with it. I'll say like in the Division I level, I've rarely come across a guy that gets a below 195. When they're 195, I'm saying like they're a really good, it's a really good arm behind the dish. Like we got to, the time with the pitcher has to match up for us to probably be able to do anything. Now, ideal world, they get a fastball away. They might get close to that 1.9, maybe, a 1.89, but rarely even on the Division I side do I get anything that's below that 195.
Yeah, in 120 games, because it was a shortened COVID season, when I was hitting coach in low A for the Orioles, I didn't see one of our catchers below a two. Not one. Which, I mean, obviously you need to be at that level, but still, point being is like 1.8s, 1.85s, high school level, and guys in Pro Bowl aren't even below that. Like that's a little much. Another
And a
thing
lot
I
of that's the cheating, right? They're turned
exactly.
already, so they won't have that luxury in game.
Now, base running, that's something that I don't hear much, many people talk about, and maybe there's a reason for that when it comes to scouting high school players. What are you looking at when it comes to base running? Like what makes something like somebody a good base runner, or is that not something you look a ton at?
It's definitely a piece like, like the hitting's important, the defense is really important. And those are things we're probably going to look at first, right? To just say, okay, like they pass that, they pass that. All right. Now, when it comes down to it, for especially for me and how we're going to do things here and how our ballpark plays, like base running's pretty important. We play in a bigger park. Being able to run, cause havoc, be really good at going first to third, second to home. I think especially our staff, like we feel really confident that we can teach that side of the game. But for bringing somebody in that already has a pretty good baseball IQ, especially on the bases, like that's just that's even more appealing for us. Just because there's less teaching that has to go, has to be involved on that front, and there's already some feel. Usually what the first day of practice when we start talking about stealing bases, the first thing we ever like even talk about is like you have to have an understanding for space. Like you have to understand if you're at 11 foot, 12 foot, 13 foot leads. And usually that practice goes on for about 2 weeks, right? If guys trying to figure out where they actually are. But if there's a guy that we can get in the recruiting process that already has understanding for that, boom, it just makes it that much better for us. And because of we do some different types of stealing techniques and stuff like that, there is a lot that goes into our system on the bases. So just having somebody that has that background, that kind of, can see things a little bit better than most on the bases just helps us.
What's bad advice you see that's given to kids, or maybe you just hear in general on the recruiting process?
That's a good question. I mean, like the PBR, the perfect game events, they're great. They do help us filter stuff down. And you and I have talked about these things, but every weekend going to one, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. There's got to be, I think especially today, and that's why I like a little bit of the JUCO stuff because there's a lot of competition. They're playing for something, right? Where, going to a perfect game PBR event every weekend, you're competing in that tournament, but there's not that big end goal, right? There's no that long season of grinding it out, playing, 50, 60, 70 games to play for one championship. I know that's harder to get on the high school side, but there's a lot of development I think that gets missed, especially on the competitive side when you're just going to a PBR perfect game event type of showcase, right? So those things are important, don't get me wrong, but doing it every single week, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. And then kind of the second thing I would say is, as college coaches, we're people too. We know, hey, kids have interests in schools and they're trying to do their due diligence, all that good stuff. Understand we also have 1,000 people reaching out to us, right? And especially I'm sure the bigger schools are getting a lot more people reaching out to them. So when that contact happens, making sure it's good, it's quick, you're hitting all the bullet points of a video and maybe your 60 time or pop time, stuff that can stand out for us real quick. And just keep it simple on that front.
So do you, I guess, are you referring to kids emailing you and the email is like just way too long?
Way too long. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I'm going to go through it and try to pick out some of those stuff, but a really good email is going to be short, quick, have some video attached to it. Maybe have some references attached to it because as the baseball world is small. We all have connections. So if somebody's name pops up that I know, it's like, oh, I need to reach out to that guy and maybe this is a kid of interest for us.
What about doing background research? Like, would it, is it even more helpful or more intriguing if like you see that, hey, they wrote a couple sentences, like they did some background research on Jacksonville State or your like Tyler Pakanek in general? Like, should they be doing that as well in the email?
I think, yeah, like a sentence of that is really good, right? That just shows it's not a mass email. There is interest. Because, like, one thing I don't like is going on Twitter and I've been tagged with 30 other college coaches,
Yeah.
right? Now, trust me, I understand as the kid, as the parent, they're going out and they're trying to find their kid a fit, a college, a school that's going to give them an opportunity. But it's also like, well, who knows? Like when it comes down to it, if it goes, comes down to, hey, we're going to offer a kid, like that's the type of kid that I might be a little scared of just because maybe they're going to use our offer to maybe find somebody else too. Like that scares me. Like we talk about it when recruits get here on visits. Like we want people that want to be here. And I'm sure that's a lot of programs, right? Like a lot of programs. Like we want kids that want to be here, that want to be Gamecocks and, want to bleed red and black.
So you see that a lot where people will try to use one offer to leverage for more offers or maybe specific offers?
Sometimes, right? Like I think you see it a little bit, like the whole and baseball world's a lot different than, the football world, where in the football world everyone's tweeting their offers and the visits that they take and all that stuff. Baseball's a little different, for whatever reason. But you see a little bit of it. And we might be high on a guy because he fits our system and we really like him, and maybe we are like two or three down the list on that kid's option for whatever reason. And hey, we put our best offer out there, and we have a feel, like we know, okay, maybe we aren't number one or two. And it drags on, drags on, drags on, but the recruiting process still is going on, right? And we still have that hole, we still have that need. Well, chances are, there's a lot of good baseball players out there. We're probably going to see somebody we like. And now it's like, okay, well, we're not the type of people that are going to offer a couple, a lot of, player one, two, three, four, or five on the depth chart at one position and first come, first serve. Like, that's not who we are. Our first option, we're gonna put our best foot forward. We're gonna go after him, and let him make that decision. And if it's yes, like great, we should, cross everybody else off the list. If it's no, then all right, we're going down to number two, and we're gonna go from there.
Sometimes I'll hear from kids that like, oh, I was talking to a coach for a while and out of nowhere, I haven't heard anything. Like it just kind of gone radio silent. A lot of times I try to tell kids like, that could be for a variety of reasons. Like one, like maybe, I mean, they're obviously they're coaches too, right? So they're busy with other stuff. They have personal lives. Like there's a lot going on. I mean, is there any other reason as to why like things could just go radio silent, or did I is am I giving good advice to them when I tell them, hey, it's probably nothing. They're probably get back to you. They're just busy right now.
Yeah, no, I, th just like you said, like we're people too. Who knows, right? We family stuff, right? It could be holidays, whatever. But also, you got to understand the recruiting cycle. You have to understand when it's a contact period, when it's not a contact period, when it's a dead period, and we can't have that communication. Usually, those dead periods, they're around holidays. Usually those dead periods only are about a week, right? Or maybe just a few days. So just understanding, like there can't be any communication during that phase at all. And then, obviously, like this time of the year, like we're trying to win ball games too. So, when it's February through May, like I'm not as good on the phone. It is tougher for me because I'm trying to win games. I'm trying to help our team out right now, trying to get us going. And then same thing kind of in the midst of the fall. Like we get, I think it's like 27, 30 some days that we get to like be one-on-one with our guys and have a team practice and scrimmage and do all that stuff. So like that time's a lot like in season. It is a little harder for us to communicate on that front. So yeah, like I think there's a couple different reasons. It's not necessarily the worst. Not you're not you don't want to think the worst of, oh, they're not interested in me anymore, because like chances are we probably have something else kind of going on right now, and we're going to get back to you.
What does it mean if you follow a player on Twitter?
Usually I'm doing it just because I want to see any kind of video that's going to pop up of him, that he might post or whatever, and just kind of follow along. So for me, that's kind of what I do it for. Like I want to see, okay, what that progress looks like over the course of the year. Maybe, one highlight caught my attention. I'm like, oh, that's kind of nice. I like that, and I'm going to kind of follow it down the road and see what happens. 'Cause, and I think Twitter's a great source, like for kids. And I think so, putting small clips of your video of that night's game, like on there, I think that's awesome stuff.
Should players be DMing coaches on Twitter, or should they just be focusing on emailing?
I mean, I think every coach is different. I don't know if every coach uses Twitter as maybe as much as I do, or even you do, right? So, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, maybe if they know, like, I use Twitter a lot. Like, Twitter's a great avenue to reach me. But some other coaches, that might not be the case. So, you know, you're probably just kind of finding out, what's probably the easiest way to reach them.
One of the most frustrating things I can remember about the recruiting process as a high school player was just not knowing what to do, not knowing what camps to go to, not knowing how to get connected with college coaches, not knowing where I stood in the recruiting process, and lastly, just not knowing what college coaches are looking for. So one of the things that I've been doing over the last several years is helping high school baseball players in the recruiting process. And because of this podcast, I've been able to develop relationships with hundreds of college coaches across the country and have been able to place players across the country at various levels and different programs. So if you're somebody who needs help in the recruiting process, needs help getting your name out there, getting connected with college coaches, head to my website, patrickjonesbaseball.com/recruiting, and sign up for a time to speak with me to see if we can work together and I can help you in your recruiting process. So patrickjonesbaseball.com/recruiting. All right, here we go, back to the pod. I want to talk a little bit about kind of like how you guys go about doing things at Jacksonville State. So when it comes to like from a player development standpoint, especially in season, I mean, what's a game day routine usually like for you guys? Like game day, like is it there's hitters meetings and you're going over that day's pitcher? Like kind of walk us through like what a typical game day is like if you're playing at Jacksonville State.
Yeah. So usually we team meet 3 hours before the game. So we'll sit down, as a team in our classroom area, and that's kind of where we hit on like the full team stuff, right? What type of team offense they run, what you can expect maybe from like their defensive side of things, and just maybe how they, how they're coached up. Like, hey, they're a team that plays really hard. They're going to run the bases really hard. We have to be on our toes for that. But yeah, so usually that first meeting, 10, 15 minutes, is just kind of hitting all the team stuff, kind of on the scouting report side of things. And then we'll head out, we'll stretch, get the bodies moving, we'll play catch. And then we do kind of what we call defensive 10. And that's where, we'll do about 2 minutes of fly ball communication, just kind of, seeing the sky. Maybe it's windy, maybe it's a little rainy, just kind of getting used to the sky. And then the next 8 minutes is, infielders getting ground balls, catchers working on receiving stuff, outfielders working more fly ball, ground ball stuff. After that, that's when we get into our BP, and our BP is pretty fast paced. Like, our whole staff, we don't like standing around. We don't like wasting time. So, we got a base running group, a whole base running group that works at first base, and they move to second, then they move to third. And then we have, a group that's hitting on field, and while they're hitting on field, after they get out of the cage, it's, hey, now you're moving to the bunting station. You're executing bunts. And then you're hopping back in line to hit on the field. And then we have a defensive group. And during that defensive group, I have a routine, a fungo routine that I do with those guys that are on defense. Like they're going to take some fungo reps, and then they're going to take live reps. And then we also have a cage group. And usually Coach Sharp, our hitting coach, will set up our machines based off of maybe that day starter, right? If maybe he's a ride guy or he's a sink guy, they're going to see that in the cage. Just so they, can see some velo, some game-like stuff. So we have those four rotations. We rotate through, get through BP, and then, kind of towards the back end of BP is when the pitchers will meet. They'll go over the hitters. They'll go over that team's hitters, and, Coach Ever will kind of label guys on, who's the high importance of, pitch execution, stuff like that, right? And then after we get in, after we finish the hitters position guys, we sit down, we go over that team, the pitchers that are the starter, and then those pitchers that we're most likely going to see, watch some video on them, talk approach, stuff like that. And then by the time we're done with that meeting, it's getting back out on the field and taking IO and right into the game.
And then just like clockwork every day.
Every day.
That's crazy. And then what is so in college baseball? Is the off day still Monday?
Everyone's a little different. For us, we tend to look at what our midweek schedule looks like. If we have a midweek on Tuesday, we don't necessarily like taking the day before off that we play. So we might do something light on Monday, and then Tuesday we play, and we'll take off a Wednesday. If we have a Wednesday midweek, we'll take off Monday, practice Tuesday.
What's your evaluation of the team so far this season?
We've had really good moments in all areas. We haven't really clicked. Now, we've won some good series. I think, we won a series against Memphis and they're playing pretty well right now. We won a series against a really talented Iowa team. So like we've had some really good moments. And then we've had some weekends that we haven't put it together. I think for us in the type of team that we're going to be, we have to be a team and we have to play really well in all of our areas, so kind of in the small stuff. I think you can go through our stats and look, and we have some good stats in some areas, but I still don't think we've reached our potential in some of those. And then we're, the stats aren't so good in some areas. And we know as a staff, like, hey, we could be better there. And it, it's just about putting it all together. And, we say it with the team all the time, like, it's not about playing your best baseball early. It's not about playing your best baseball in March. This isn't basketball. So we have to learn from it. And if we learn from it, like, hey, we want to be playing our best baseball April, May, June. So as long as we learn from it. And I think that's kind of, the team understands that. They know we're learning. And we had a tough one last night, but I think our guys are learning. Like our first two innings, we were up 3-0 against Auburn pretty quickly, and we had some really good approaches at the plate, and those are some things we talked about this past week, and we didn't do very well. So that just shows, I thought we learned from it, and hopefully we take that into this weekend.
When you say good approaches at the plate, like what's an example of that?
I talked about like ride guys or sink guys, right? If you got a ride guy, you want to see the ball down. You don't want to see it belt high or not, because it's probably going to keep riding on you, and your barrel, you're going to be underneath it. The sinker guy, you got to hunt elevation on him, because that ball's going to disappear. It's going to fall off the barrel. So, those are just kind of two small examples that I think of that from a hitter standpoint, like, I know it's easier said than done, right? Like, some guys are throwing pretty nasty stuff and they're throwing hard and it's gross, but it's just trying to find, and we're not dealing with guys that have played 20 years in professional baseball. Or these guys are still young in their career, and they're going to go play for a long time, hopefully in professional baseball. And it's just a matter of trusting that, hey, this is the plan. You got to execute it. And if the pitcher execute, if he's a sinker guy and he's executing at the kneecaps, sometimes you got to tip your cap, because the best result that's going to come out of you swinging at that is a ground ball to the third baseman and you're out anyways, right? So you got to hunt the elevation and get it up in the zone. So,
What are your responsibilities during the game? Like, what are you doing? What are you focusing on during the game?
yeah. So I'm in charge of like our defensive alignment. So when our team's on defense, I'm looking at the alignment and figuring all that. Now I've done my research. We got shift cards, so our guys, they know where they're positioning, but if there's some in-game stuff that I have to adjust, maybe because this guy, whatever reason, bat might look a little slower that day. We might not be playing as much pull, just stuff like that. And then when we're on offense, I coach first base. So when guys get to me, I'm telling them, like, here's the type of move they got. This is, outs, counts. I'm telling them, the right fielder's got this arm, center fielder's got this type of arm, left fielder's got this type of arm. Talking them through possibly all the situations that could come up. And so those are kind of the two big things that I go through during the game for me.
Love it. Tyler, is there anything else that you would want to add to today's episode? Like, actually, you know what? I'll tee you up here. Why should somebody want to come play at Jacksonville State?
Yeah, there's a lot of momentum right now for us in the school and the university. Football just got an FBS and they made a bowl game. They weren't supposed to, but because not enough teams were bowl eligible, they made a bowl game. So that's exciting. And whenever the football team's doing well, everybody else kind of reaps the benefits of it. New staff for us, new conference, like a lot of good things. Conference USA is not a joke. It's really good baseball. Every weekend's going to be a grind. It's going to be tough. So, you get to play in the South. It's the South Conference, so everybody's going to be tough. Your midweeks are going to be tough. You play Auburn, you play Alabama, you go over to Georgia, Georgia Tech. So you're going to play against the best teams in the country. And then for us, like our biggest selling point is player development. We talk hitting, we talk pitching. I think there's plenty of good pitching, hitting coaches out there in the country. But for us, like we talk about full player development. That's defense, that's base running, that's the person. Like we talk about it. Like people matter to us. How they leave our program after the fact, we care about. You know, are they going to be great people when they, you know, they're out in the business world? They're going to be great, you know, husbands, all that good stuff. That stuff's really important to us. Like, yes, we want to win ball games. We want to get to Omaha just like everybody else. But we also have those other kind of goals of making sure our guys are ready for the real world.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know you guys have won several recruiting battles solely just because of the people that you guys are more than anything else, which is awesome. For those listening, I mean, you can tell Tyler is the recruiting coordinator. We've heard his phone go off multiple times. We're getting text messages, so we'll let him get going here. He's a busy man, but appreciate you coming on today, dude.
Appreciate you having me. It's always a good time, and we'll have to tee it up again soon.